kayo'y nakikinig sa SBS Filipino. Pakinggan niyo pa ang kwento sa sbs.com.au/filipino.
Kasama ko ngayon, sa unang pagkakataon, kung hindi ako nagkakamali, ay magkakaroon tayo ng isang classical pianist dito sa SBS Filipino. Pinanganak, bahagyang lumaki sa Pilipinas, nanirahan sa Estados Unidos, lumipat sa Europa, sa London, at may higit isang dekada na dito sa Melbourne. Yeah. Si Associate Professor Zachary Dunbar ng University of Melbourne. Welcome to SBS.
Wow, very good. I mean, I think I caught most of that, but exactly.
Medyo nagtatagalog kayo. Mm. So, naalala niyo ba yung life in the Philippines? Because you mentioned you left when you were in the fifth grade because martial law was declared.
Yeah. I mean, I think for a lot of Filipinos who know this story, lots of business nasira, wala lang business because martial law was also influencing people. But also my dad being American, he always thought, okay, we got to go. We've gone to the U.S. Although, I really had my eye out for Australia at that time because somebody said, there's koalas and beaches.
And kangaroos.
I said, why don't we go to Australia? Because, there were some families that actually emigrated to Australia who lived in the same street as us. But my dad said, no, we're going to America. That's it. Yeah.
Because your father is American.
Yes, that's right.
And he was a basketball player.
Yes, he was a basketball player, an import from the University of San Francisco. He was imported by Ismael Steele players. I don't know if some people even remember them. To play for, during the tournament. I think it was MICAA, MICA.
There was no PBA back then.
No, I don't think so, yeah. And so he came over, and my mother was like the muse, who was like the represented the team. And he sort of eyed, who this person was. He said, "Oh, who's that?" And typical American, you think you can just kind of go and ask for a date, but at the time, you don't ask for a date. You have to talk to the parents.
Yes,
you get somebody to represent you to talk to the parents. So Dad thought, "What is this?"
So how did he get past your lolo?
Well, I think he was very persuasive by that. He's very charismatic. I mean, he was also very good looking. He looked like Paul Newman, He was very, it turned eyes. And I think, wow, who's this basketball player, looks like Paul Newman. I think he sort of charmed his way into, but I think my grandfather, my Lolo, was a little bit cautious, like, who is this guy coming here trying to date my daughter, I think there was probably some shenanigans. I think he bought him cigarettes, and whiskey, Johnny Walker, that kind of thing.
So he knew how to do it.
Yeah.
And it created five beautiful children.
Yeah. My mom got married at 18 and he was 23, and typical, just one child after another. I think my mom said, "Tama na," after the fifth one.
Well, back then, there wasn't much distractions.
Yeah. And, you became the wife. You became the mother.
Homemaker.
Homemaker. Of course, could afford maids and stuff. So it wasn't like she was doing
but
the
she
washing.
Was, telling people
that's right,
what
yeah.
to do. Yeah. So what was it like when you moved to America?
Looking back now, as you get older, you realize more things you had to do when you move away from the culture, your home culture, to the United States, because the States was always looked as a place of, it was ideal, a better life,
but at the greener pastures,
there's a lot of business opportunity, but at the same time you're leaving your culture, your home, your network, your friends, your family, really. So I look forward to it because I just thought, oh, wow, what's this place going to be like? And I could only think of John Wayne and cowboys and that kind of thing. But in fact, it was also a bit of a shock because, first of all, we moved to Kansas City, which it snowed, and I said, what is snow? The discovery of this coldness. And secondly, it wasn't multicultural.
But I take it from the way you look, You didn't have much.
No, no, I didn't have to code switch. Yung mukha ko hindi, you know, hindi Pilipino. However, inside me, I still felt very much
Filipino.
And also the way I behaved, or I would joke and stuff, I had to watch myself because it's a, you know, you had to fold into a different rhythm, a different culture, a different way of being. It's also being masculine, you know, in an American way. It's different. The Filipino body's reacting differently. So I think I made like dikit, you know, trying to fit in more than I realized. But yeah, it was, and also this is the 70s, by the way, so it's a different era in the United States. It was, I think economically it was, you know, bouncing around and not really finding its foot. So,
but was it the hippie era, or
it was really after? It was the after party, the big headache, you know, past the hippie era, and there was a lot of stagflation, you know, in the United States, and of course it was post Vietnam and also the Watergate era. So I think the U.S. was also going through a lot of schisms, you know, in its identity, who it was. So it wasn't Reagan's 80s. Yeah. You know, a lot of people moved to U.S. in Reagan's 80s, but not the 70s is a different.
It was like people trying to find their way back.
Yeah, yeah. And also, there were opportunities, but not, you know, get rich quick. You really had to work.
What I'm most interested is you are a classical pianist.
Yes.
But you never thought yourself as one. Like, you never even considered that when you were young.
Yeah, yeah. It's, you know, that's a good question. Again, when you're much older, you can really look back and see the bigger picture of what was going on. I think what happened was when I moved to the U.S., we moved around quite a bit. We were very nomadic. You know, we couldn't quite stay in one place or another. And my musical training really didn't continue. In the Philippines, I studied with my mother's teacher. So I sort of had some kind of discipline.
Back in the day,
discipline.
One of the hobbies you should have was to play the piano.
Yes, yeah, yeah. And they would wheel you out, you know, if you're already gising now, you're sleeping. Come on, wake up. You have to play for your lola, you know, kind of thing. So, you know, you were sort of like, we want to show off and, you know, you show what you could do. But when I moved to the U.S., it discontinued. And it wasn't a concern of anybody's that I should continue or not. But then we moved to Florida finally and settled there. Friends of the family knew that I played the piano, and they bought me a
piano. They bought you a piano?
They bought me a piano, yeah. Again, very lucky, very privileged. I felt, but even at the time, I thought, well, okay, I'll just continue playing the piano. My mom was very busy at the time, you know, working, and the family had split apart. So I basically started teaching myself. And it was not till I was about 15 that I found a teacher nearby a college called Rollins College in Winter Park, Florida. And he was one of probably the best-trained pianists in the country. I mean, he had gone to the Curtis Institute and Juilliard, studied. So somebody said, you should play for him. I said, oh my God. What was so I learned like Moonlight Sonata. I learned all the kind of like top hits.
And for Elise.
Yeah, yeah. I said, yeah. And I said, well, okay, but now I'll try. And when he heard me, he said, okay, look. And also, we couldn't afford lessons. It's just.
This is very expensive even back in the day.
Yeah, yeah. And I thought, this guy. And he said, look, I'll take you on free.
Wow.
And that was really.
So he must have found something in you.
Yeah,
while you
I
were
think
playing.
He did, and I think also whatever it was, he was generous enough to go, all right, if you're going to take this seriously, you need to take it seriously now. I mean, at 15, it's almost too old. You should already have been starting way, way back. So that was really the beginning of me taking it seriously.
Because. Knowing what I know about pianists is that at a very young age, you give up playtime.
Oh, yeah.
You sit on the grand piano or on your piano.
Yeah.
And you play for hours.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're not allowed to do any chores.
No.
Because you might injure your hand.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're not allowed to do anything but concentrate and memorizing the piece.
Yeah, absolutely. You know. You know what this is like. Yeah, so that did happen to me. But I disciplined myself, knowing also that if I needed to get anywhere in life, because like I said, we sort of hit the ground in terms financially. I thought, well, this might be your only ticket to get to college. And so in a way, it's a vehicle also for me to work my way up to
and
opportunity.
You went
and
to
it
Yale.
Did. It did, yes.
I only thought people in business went to Yale. And I thought,
oh, no,
well, there's
no.
a college of
yeah,
music.
Yeah, there's a big school of music. And yeah, a lot of people, by the way, always say, does Yale have School of Music?
Yeah.
Yes, either Juilliard or, you know.
Yes. Something.
But yes, they do. And it's a quite a long established.
But you chose music
yeah.
when you were a teenager.
Hmm.
May influence ba yung nanay mo, yung lolo mo? Like, did they say, Zach, meron kang talent. Gawin mo to. Or,
yeah, yeah.
or was it like, Zach, mag-business ka na lang. Or...
Yeah, no, alam ka na. Yeah, I know. You know, I think everybody had to find their way. I think I was a very independent child, and I think my mother probably saw that what I was going to do, I was going to concentrate. Because I was also good in school, and I was very disciplined. I brought home A's. So whatever I put my mind to, I would do it. So very self-determined.
Is that because you were the middle child?
Possibly, you know. I don't know. I'm also the tallest.
So dapat nag-basketball ka.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I inherited the basketball
oh,
side.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You yeah. are a musician and an athlete.
Well, not that good. In fact, when I would play basketball, say, oh, your hands. Huh? You have to be careful with your hands and yeah. stuff like that. But, yeah, I think the answer to the question was that I found that the piano was pretty much my way, a vehicle to get opportunities. But there was no kind of, you know, helicopter momming. There's yeah. no Lolo or Lola going, oh, you know, you'll be great someday.
So you
None
were
of that.
Basically free range.
Yeah, free range. Yeah, free range chicken.
It worked for you.
Yeah, yeah. But I had really, I think once I got that teacher, I felt, you know, one. This is the other thing, too. When you're given an opportunity like that and you fail at it, you know, you feel you'd be very shameful.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Plus it's free in the man. And so you really work as hard as possible because you want to prove.
That you're worth it.
That you're worth it, yeah. And I think, by the way, diaspora stories are about this. When you move to a new environment, you have to be exceptional. You have to work very hard to prove. I think that you're worth
that you deserve the space.
That
you're
you deserve in. The space that you're given. Yeah.
I asked an expert to watch you play,
oh
and the expert said he doesn't pick the easy pieces.
Yes.
So you pick the more challenging ones, mm. the less popular ones.
Mm.
Why?
Well, it depends. I mean, if you play for audiences who, you know, are aficionados of a particular kind of music, of course they won't think it's not popular. And a lot of my repertoire probably that people have listened to are just things that I probably have just recently reviewed, you know, because I've just really come back to the piano. You know, there has been, of course, this
14
big,
years.
Yeah, this big gap when I went into theater. But I think what I remember a professor at Yale saying, you know, you're so ambitious all the time. And I always wondered, what do you say that about me? It was a put down. But I think...
But that could be a positive too.
It is a positive. I think what he said is you're always curious to see how much better.
Yeah.
You know, so you don't choose an easy route. You choose the more interesting one that will really challenge what you think you know already. But we'll push it a little further.
Maraming salamat, Associate
Maraming
Professor
salamat
Zachary
talaga.
Dambar. At hanggang sa uulitin.
Thank you very much.
I-like, i-share, mag-comment, sundan ang SBS Filipino sa Facebook.